Well, one of the things that we've been using as a theme in overcoming is that 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through verse 21, and that we're a brand new creature in Christ. We have within us a new life. And this new life has some benefits, you could say. And we are not just new creatures in Christ, but as that scripture shares, that we've not only just become the old life is gone and the new life has begun in the New Living Translation, it says that God was in Christ doing what? Reconciling the world to himself. And that he gave us a responsibility in that. He said that we are and have been given a message of reconciliation, and that we are to be God's, you could say it's the scripture says we are the body of Christ, so that means we're his eyes, his hands, his feet. We are to go into all the world and to do what? Share the good news of the gospel, that God is not holding the sins of mankind against them, because it was God in Christ reconciling the world. He paid for the sins of mankind. And so we are to share that good news, and to share that if one will believe in the Lord Jesus and accept the finished work, accept the blood that was shed for them, and ask him to come into their heart, he will make them a brand new person. He'll change their heart from a stony heart to a brand new person in Christ. And that's how we receive eternal life. But we've been sharing along these lines, and I wanted to pick up here and just look at this theme, not theme, but this principle of seed time and harvest. And when you look at this principle, if you look at, I think we looked at this the last lesson in the Passion Translation, Luke chapter 8, and starting in verse 11, this is in the Passion Translation. And it says, "Here then is the deeper meaning to my parable. The Word of God is the seed that is sown into hearts." Hallelujah. So the seed, the word of God is the seed, and it is sown into men's hearts. And so it says the hard pathway represents the hard hearts of men who hear the word of God, but the slanderer, the devil, quickly snatches away what was sown in their hearts to keep them from believing and experiencing salvation. The seed falling on the gravel represents those who initially respond to the word with joy, but soon afterward, when a season of harassment of the enemy and difficulty come to them, they wither and fall away, for they have no root in the truth, and their faith is temporary. Verse 14, the seed that falls into the weeds represents the hearts. He talks about hearts of those who hear the word of God, but their growth is quickly choked off by what? Their anxious cares, and you could say the riches, as it says, the riches of this world and the fleeting pleasures of this life. This is why they never become mature and fruitful. In verse 15, it says, the seed. This is the word of God now. The seed that fell into good, fertile soil represents what? Lovers of truth. Where does that lovers of truth come from? Your heart. It says, who hear it deep within their hearts, they respond by clinging to the word, keeping it dear as they endure all things in faith. This is the seed that will one day bear much fruit in their lives. So the seed. seed is what's key. And in order for it to produce, the heart has to be right. The seed will produce, because God says, I watch over my word to produce it. But the heart is key. We need to keep our hearts. We need to examine our hearts, whether we be in the faith, and make sure that we do what? Keep our hearts open and be lovers of the truth, because it's the truth that will set you free. And Luke, I like in Luke 8:15, in the Message translation, it says, but the seed is the good earth, though these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what. Hold on to what? The word, no matter what. Sticking with it until there's a harvest. Glory to God. So it's sticking with the word of God that's going to produce a harvest. You know, I heard a minister say this years ago who was on the missions field, still there. He said, you know, I wasn't that, you know, I'm not the most, I think he said smartest or most, the best missionary. He said, I just stuck with it. I just stayed with it. And so I think a lot of times people just give up when they get into a hard spot. They just give up. When they get into a hard spot, maybe with life, could be with children, could be a marriage, could be a job. They may own a job, or not own a job, but own a business. They may get into a rough spot and do what? Give up. So they never see the benefits of their efforts and labor because they just give up. And it's the same thing. The eternal word of God will produce in the heart, if we don't give up, if we hold on to the word, seize it, hold on, as it says, keeping and holding on, sticking with it until there's a harvest. Glory to God. So back to this, what does this really mean? We will overcome if we stick with it, stick with the word of God, stick with it, no matter what. So faith is what we were sharing on Sunday. A living faith is a faith that's what? Is proving something. It's proving all things. It's holding on to something that's dear. And you're holding on to something that you believe, and the word of God is what you believe. So here, what pleases God? A living faith. Not just something in your head, but something that's in your heart. And something that's in your heart, as we were sharing, John 4:24, God is a spirit. And in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, we are made in what? The image and likeness of God. So we are a spirit that what? Speaks. So you could say we are a speaking spirit. So you can see, what did God do? He said when he moved upon the face of the earth, he did what? He didn't think it into existence. He spoke it. Let there be light. So we are speaking spirits. We're made in the image and likeness of God. So that which I believe, that which I hold on to dear in my heart, if I believe something, then I'm going to do what? Speak it. And the speaking part that comes out of my mouth is going to produce. Glory to God. So one of the things that I wanted to continue with here is, if you have your Bibles, we're just going to look real quickly at James chapter 1 and verses 2, 3, and 4. James chapter 1 and verses 2, 3, and 4. And I want to read it in the King James. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the what? The trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, I wanted to point something out here. We'll continue. In verse 4, it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, I hadn't really looked at this particular scripture in this way, but if you look at verses 1, and it says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, well, where did faith come from? Faith comes from hearing the word of God. So there had to be some sowing done here. We're looking at this principle of sowing and reaping. If you look at this, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So when your faith is tested, he says here, the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance. So there has to be an order for, what does it say? But let patience or endurance have her perfect work. That means in order for there to be a harvest, as it continues, that you may be what? Perfect, entire, wanting nothing. So in order for there to be a harvest of being what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing, that means you got to hold on. You've got to stick with it until there's a harvest. So I hope you can see this, that even in this, you can see seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. Glory to God. It means you're going to have to endure some things, possibly in life. And what I was looking at here is that when it says, count it all joy, in the New Living Translation of that verse, it says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Or in the Wiest translation, it says, be constantly rejoicing. Consider it a matter for unadulterated joy. So in order to have this joy, count it all joy. This means that while I'm going through something, I'm to consider it joy. This is a measure of our faith. In other words, my faith is being tested, and so what am I supposed to do at that point? I'm to count it all joy, or some translations say maximum joy, mega joy, you could say. And so here, we're to do what? Prove all things. In the Amplified translation of 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it says, but test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good, to that hold fast. So what does that mean? You're never going to find out what's good. What is good? When we looked at first in James chapter 1, it says, what would you consider good? It says that you may be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's good. And how do you reach that place? By not giving up, letting your patience or endurance have its perfect work. That means in order for you to reap that place, that abundant place, in order to prove that, you're going to have to do what? You're going to have to test it. You're going to have to, what does that mean? Just touch it a little bit? No, it means you're going to have to go through and endure something in order to prove that that's good. It says prove, test. I like the Message translation of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. It says, on the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. You know, I think if you're in business, you already know you've learned some lessons in business. You're not gullible. You do what? You test something. You prove it out. You may do some research on something. You're not just going to take everything that's being said to you, right? You're not gullible. And so you're going to prove something, test it, to see if it's legitimate or genuine. And so this is seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. Now let's add a little more. If you hold fast to something, where it says holding fast, to something, then your heart is what? Determined or fixed. If your heart is fixed, then that means you're not wavering. It says, and the reason I'm saying hold fast to something, it says, prove all things. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. When you hold fast to something, that means your heart is fixed. It's determined. What does that mean? That means you don't waver. You don't vacillate from something. So when your heart is fixed, it doesn't hesitate. That's another word we could use, another synonym. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. We're talking about the heart here. Sowing and reaping is in the heart. You sow the word of God in the heart and you reap the harvest or the produce from the seed that's sown in the ground of the heart. But Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us do what? Hold fast. It's the same thing we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Hold fast to that which is good. This says, let us hold fast the what? The profession of our faith. So faith has to be spoken. So this says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, without hesitating, without staggering, without vacillating. You know, some of the words, if you waver, you hesitate. If you're in faith, you're not hesitating. And I say this all the time, when your heart is settled on something, when your heart is fixed, when you've made a heart decision, you're moving forward. You don't vacillate. You don't hang back. That's another word. You know, when you waver, you hang back. You're like, well, I don't know. You know, what does that mean? It's like Mars the cat, back and forth, back and forth. You're forward, you're back, you know, the commercial. You're vacillating. You go forward a little bit, back up a little bit. So when this says here, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, doing what? Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now let's look at Abraham's life in the New Testament, Romans chapter 4, verse 20, in the King James. And this is wonderful here. Because if you're in faith, if you're not wavering, then you're speaking what you believe. Now look what Abraham did. And we know the story. And now here in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, it says, he did what? He staggered not. That means he didn't waver. He was convinced. He was fixed in his heart. He staggered not at what? The promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith, doing what? Giving glory to God. So you can see here how strong faith is tied to doing what? Giving glory to God, giving him praise, giving him thanksgiving. So when we're in faith and strong faith, a byproduct of that is I'm giving glory to God for something he said to me in his word, or he could have said something to me personally. So if we're in faith, and this says here, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So if we're in faith and expecting, then there needs to be a praise giving glory to God. If you're in faith, then you're giving praise to God for something that you're expecting to receive. Let's look at Hebrews 10:35. Hebrews 10, verse 35 and 36. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. What does that mean? That means you're not throwing it away. You're not wavering. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath what? Great recompense of reward. This is sowing and reaping right here. What do you mean? That means you're not casting away something you've sown. So here, cast not away therefore your confidence. Confidence is what? Faith. Which hath what? Great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience or endurance, that after you have done the will of God, what? You're going to reap something. You might receive the promise. So here, faith has an end result, but you can't get to that end result. You can't reap that end result unless you do what? You cast not away your what? Your confidence. So you've sown the word of God. Faith has come. You've released your faith. And now you need to have patience or endurance. Otherwise, you won't reap. Psalm 67, verses 5, 6, and 7. Psalm 67. And we're talking about, again, overcoming. How are we going to overcome? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We're going to overcome by casting not away, therefore, our confidence, which is what this just said, which has what? Great recompense of reward. It has a reward. Psalm 67, verses 5, 6, and 7, it says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then, I want everybody to say then. Then. So what is this saying? I'm sowing something. I'm sowing my praise. My praise is really a demonstration of my faith. It's expressing my trust in God. It's showing him I trust him. I believe him. And what am I doing? I'm releasing my faith through my praise. And it says what? Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth do what? Yield her increase. Glory to God. So we're sowing, releasing our faith through our praise. And then what? Then there's an increase. There's harvest. And God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So what is this saying? Our praise and our shout, you could say that another way, is our faith in demonstration. This is how we're going to overcome in life. Not getting away quiet and thinking about our thoughts. No, we need to have his thoughts. We need to be thinking and meditating upon his word and then lifting up praise right in the middle of the trouble, right in the middle of the problem. We need to be thanking God for receiving the answer to our faith. And then what does it also say? Our praise and shout shows God that we trust him. Hallelujah. Let's look at another. This is how we overcome. And our message this evening is overcoming or filled with joy and peace. Let's look at Psalm 126 and verse 5. Psalm 126 and verse 5. Look in the King James and the Passion. And this again, this is sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. This is how we overcome in life. This is how we receive the answer to the blessings of the promises of God. Psalm 126, verse 5 in the King James, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. This is glory to God. This is seed time and harvest right here. Everything in the kingdom of God is built around the principles of seed time and harvest. You're going to have to sow in faith, sow believing and trusting God and casting not away therefore your confidence, which has what? Great recompense of reward. So here in the Passion Translation of Psalm 126, verse 5, it says, those that sow their tears as seeds will reap a harvest with joyful shouts of glee. Hallelujah. So right when you're in the middle of the problem, right when you want to lay down and cry and give up, what does this say? Sow their tears as seeds, and then what? Cast not away therefore your confidence, because it has great recompense of reward. And then what does this say? It says, will reap a harvest with joyful shouts of glee. Hallelujah. This is a promise from God, and his word is forever settled in heaven. Let's look at Romans 15 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans chapter 15 and the King James in verse 13. Says, now the God of hope. Whenever we see the word hope, you know, it says now in Hebrews 11:1, it says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, expecting the evidence of things what? Not seen. So whenever you see the word hope, it really means expectation, something that you're expecting because of faith. So let's go back to Romans 15 and verse 13. It says, now the God of hope or expectation says, fill you. So I'm expecting something. This says God will fill me with what? All joy and peace in believing. Hallelujah. He's going to do something in my response to my expectation. So when I expect something, this is where we can go back here. When we just got done looking at Psalm 126, verse 5, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Well, this says here, if I expect that, this says now the God of hope fill you, he's going to fill me with all joy and peace in believing. And look at this, comma, that. Oh, yeah. So here, the scripture is saying, why is he doing this? Why is he filling me with all joy and peace in believing? That, or because of something, because ye may abounding. What did he say in John 10:10? The thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly, to abound. This says here that you may abound in hope, in expectation, through how? The power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So we're not just standing here when we believe something and we're expecting something to come to pass. This says here, God is going to fill us with what? Joy and peace. So that we may do what? Abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, I'm just thinking of something. Just think about this scripture for a second. We read this. I'm going to jump over here for a moment. But think about this particular scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we use this for the ministry of giving. And it says here in verse 10 and 11, it says, now he that ministereth what? Seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which does what? Causes through us thanksgiving to God. Glory to God. So here, there's a purpose in God, going back, there's a purpose for God filling us with all joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So if we are in faith expecting something from God, then our believing God is going to fill us with joy and peace. What's in abundance in your heart is what you're going to say, and it's going to produce. So if you really believe something, if you're expecting something to come to pass, then all that is left is a shout of praise. You're going to lift up your voice in praise to God. Hallelujah. And the question, as we kind of wrap this up here, the question one has to ask is what? Do I look like or sound like I'm in faith? Your praise, you know, when I say that, I just say, you know, are you downtrodden? Oh, I'm just believing God. You know, it sounds real religious, but what does your face look like? When you're in faith, this says here, when you're expecting something, God is going to do something. He's going to respond and fill you with joy and peace. And what do I mean? Where does believing come from? The heart. This goes back to the heart again. When your heart is purposed and it's fixed, it doesn't waver. That's when it says, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, but was what? Strong in faith, doing what? Giving glory to God. So when you are strong in faith, when your heart is fixed, it's settled, it doesn't vacillate. And it's going to turn around and it's going to do what? Lift up your voice and give praise to God. Right in the middle of the problem. You may not feel like it. This is a choice you're going to have to make. Glory to God. So your praise, you know, we saw an example of this recently at the prayer conference. One of the speakers was talking about used an example, and they were showing how their prayer and their praise caused something to move closer to them. And so here, your praise will impact the movement of that which you're believing for. So when you where can I go and look at that? Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if your mouth is filled with of doubt and unbelief, then it's going to have an impact on what? The harvest. What you're reaping. And so what do I want to do? I want to fill my heart with praise and love towards God. My praise, my shout or my praise and my giving glory to God indicates or does what? Represents my trust in Him. This is why when we go back and look at Romans chapter 4, verse 20, Abraham, he said, he staggered not at the promise of God. Here he is, he's bringing his son to offer him up as a sacrifice before God because he didn't have what? He didn't have an offering. He didn't have a lamb. And so what did he do? He used his son, and he was so convinced that even if he had offered his son up, that he would raise him from the dead. So here, what did he do? He said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, through wavering, through staggering. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So where does that come from? Comes from the heart. Where does faith come from? The heart. Where is the seed planted? In the heart. Where does the production of that seed come from? The heart. And so I should do what? I should keep my heart stirred, keep watering my heart with watering the seed that's planted in my heart with the Word of God, and do what? Give glory to God. Thank Him for the answer. Thank You that You have it. Thank You that it's on the way. And how are we going to overcome? We're going to overcome through our giving glory to God, through praise to God. And this says here, God Let's go back and look at it again. Romans 15, verse 13, it says, "Now the God of all hope," or of hope, "fill you," and not a little dab, "he will fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may do what? Abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So God is not just leaving us here trying to make it through life on our own. He is working in us through the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. So this process of seed time and harvest, even here, let me just point out another scripture verse, and we'll close with this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. This here, again, this scripture highlights sowing and reaping principle. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," how? "By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So this here is showing sowing and reaping. We sow, what are we sowing? We're sowing the Word of God, and the Word of God does what? It says it renews our mind. And the renewing of our mind did what? Transforms us. So we are transformed by how? The renewing of our minds. How? By sowing the Word of God. Then, see, then, you can put in here, I've put it in. Then you may do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This shows that that when we sow or water the Word of God, we reap a harvest or a renewed mind, which transforms us, and then we're able to prove what the will of God is. So you can't just prove what the will of God is. You've got to sow something before you reap that. And so just, again, the sowing and the reaping principle, we're going to have to sow in the midst of believing, in our expectation of something, we're going to have to sow. How we overcome an obstacle, how we overcome something, is through believing God, trusting, expecting something to come to pass. My faith causes me to expect to receive something. Faith is the ground, or the substructure, as in the Greek it says, the substance or the ground on which my expectation rests. So my expectation sits on or rests on the ground, the substance of my faith. So I can expect something based on the validity of God's word, his promises. So this expectation, when I expect, God fills me with joy and peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And what does that cause me to do? Overcome. Allows me to overcome in life. Glory to God. Well, I hope you got a little something. The more you keep feeding on the Word of God, the more you look at it, you will overcome. More light will come. More revelation will come. More faith will come. And then therein is your expectation. Expectation comes through the substance of faith. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I hope you got a little something from that. I believe you did. The Word of God is light. And when you open your heart and let the seed of the Word of God in, and you hold on to it dearly, it'll produce. Glory to God. Let patience have its perfect work. Praise God. Well, before we unhook, I just want to give an opportunity for those that may be watching. Most may be born again, may have asked Jesus into their heart, but just by chance, if you happen to be watching this evening, maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus. Maybe you know of him. Maybe you believe that he was crucified and died on the cross and shed his blood, but you never asked him to come into your heart. Maybe you believe that, but you never confessed it or professed him as your Savior, as your Savior. Maybe you say, well, yeah, I believe, you know, a lot of people, people could say, yeah, I believe in marriage, but it's just not for me. You know, there are people that believe in something, believe in an institution, but it's not for them. But in order to be saved, in order for you to get to heaven, you're going to have to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And that happens supernaturally when you ask Jesus into your heart, when you acknowledge that he is the one that bore your sins and sicknesses, and you ask him into your heart and you receive him as your Savior, he will instantly change your spirit and you'll become a brand new person in Christ. Praise God. So if you're here and watching this evening, why don't you say this simple prayer? They'll put some information up as to, you know, how to contact us if this is your confession and you believe that in your heart. Let's say this: Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe you sent him here to this earth to in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And I believe that he took my sins and the sins of all mankind to hell. And when sin and sickness was paid for on the cross and he shed his blood, when that was paid for in hell, then he was released from hell and raised from the dead. And we, as the scripture says, we were raised from the dead and raised to new life. So I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I ask you to make something new of me. Cleanse me with your blood. And I now receive you as my Savior and will serve you the rest of my days. Now, if you said that simple prayer and you believe that and confessed that with your mouth, then just get in touch with us. They'll put some information up there. You can either email us, or you can write us, or you can phone us and let us know that you've become a brand new person in Christ, and we'll send you some information as to who you've become in Christ.